And we're back on Sides Uncovered. Another great week of college football on deck for us. Today on the show, gonna talk about everything. Our thoughts through 4 weeks, get to our games of the weeks, and then our picks of the weeks. We're gonna hit you with a parlay at the end. But gonna start, guess this is where you'd insert the sad violin music or the, I don't know, the lottery machine cashing or something. Another coach fired in college football. This time's Mike Gundy. Mike Gundy, longtime Oklahoma State coach. I think I read he'd been there 21 years. I knew he was hired after Miles. So I think Miles got to LSU in 05. So this would have been year 20, I guess, for Gundy. I mean, end of an era. He gave you the soundbite of all soundbites with the I'm a man, I'm 40 thing, but. Gundy made them a perennial contender, but just he wasn't really ever able to play in this era. And, they were really bad NIL wise. I don't think anybody would tell you any differently. So I think one thing you've got to look for there going forward is do you have buy-in in this rev share era? Because I do think they lost a little bit of juice when T. Boone Pickens died. He obviously bankrolled that program for so many years. I don't know what to make of that situation. Obviously, I think you look at a place like Oklahoma State, and the build back is not an SEC program. It's not building back at a Mississippi State. It's not building back at a Vandy or a Missouri or somewhere like that. You're building in the Big 12. It's not the hardest, I guess you could say. I mean, I'm not sitting here saying that a rebuild's easy, but Kenny Dillingham rebuilt his roster in 2 years and was in the playoffs and was a play away from the semifinals. I don't think it's going to be a thing where they can't bring a new coach in and succeed. I don't think it's a situation like Virginia Tech where they're now on coach, they'll be on coach three after when they hire the next guy. And I said last week on the podcast that, hey, get it out of your minds. It's not going to be Shane Beamer. I've heard things this week that maybe there's some hope there with Shane Beamer, but that's for another podcast. I think that the big names you look for at Oklahoma State, I think the guy they need to hire is DJ Kenny at Texas State. I think he runs the offense you need to succeed in the Big 12. He's got recruiting ties in that area. He is a portal wizard. You look at what he did at Texas State. He's able to obviously identify talent. I'm pretty sure he was the one who identified Cam Ward at Incarnate Word. So, like, this guy can coach and he knows talent. So, he knows what he needs to run his system. I've seen Zach Taylor's name thrown out, not Zach Taylor, Zach Robinson's name thrown out there. NFL assistants are just iffy when you're hiring them for college coaching jobs in this day and age. I've seen Jeff Traylor's name thrown out there, who's at UTSA. I don't really know that that will be the hire. Traylor's been really steadfast that he wants to stay in the state of Texas, and he'll stay at UTSA if he needs to. I don't know. That's going to be an interesting job. I think if you ask me right now between that job, UCLA and Virginia Tech, I would still say Oklahoma State's the better job. I think your recruiting base is better. I think your path to the playoff is better. I think the rebuild is a little bit easier. And you obviously, you can get commitment there. So if I'm coach XYZ, I would look at that job. Obviously, I think any candidate we mentioned last week for those jobs is probably also going to get a look at Oklahoma State. So you look at a guy like Ryan Silverfield, he's obviously going to get a look. I think we mentioned G.J. Kenny last week. I would also look at the guy at North Texas, Eric Morris, I believe is his name. He was, I believe, left G. I think he was with G.J. Kenny. at Incarnate Word, if I'm not mistaken, and then went to Washington State with and then to North Texas. I think he was with Arbuckle maybe at Washington State, but I know he was with G.J. Kinney. Oh no, I'm actually incorrect there, I think. I got my lines crossed, but regardless, Eric Morris is a guy I'd definitely look at. But like I said, going to be an interesting job to see who gets that one and kind of who fills that role there at Oklahoma State. I do think they can win, but end of an era. He's no longer 40. He's still a man, but he's no longer employed. So have fun with your $15 million, Mike. Pays to be an average football coach. Gonna pivot a little bit now to week five. We're a quarter away done through the season. I know that's sad. It's extremely sad. Feels like the season just started yesterday and we're four games or five. This is week five, so we're 4 weeks through the season. I think some things that I've just kind of noticed. So we'll start with the SEC. Obviously, SEC centered a little bit, but just some of my thoughts. I think you start at this point with the teams that have underperformed at this point. I think you look at Florida. Another loss last week. Lagway did not look good again. Napier seems to be on his way out. And I don't know that that's necessarily indicative of Billy being a bad coach. I mean, they've just had bad quarterbacks there. I mean, they had Anthony Richardson, freak athlete, not a great quarterback. Now they got Lagway, freak athlete, not a great quarterback. Like, the only good quarterback they had was Graham Mertz, who couldn't stay healthy. So it's so shocking that some place like Florida can't get a quarterback. But I mean, you look back, since Tebow, who's really been a good quarterback there? Kyle Trask, I think that's it. So whoever the next coach is going to be at Florida, and we're not going to get into that. That'll happen in a few weeks, but we're not going to get into that. They got to be able to recruit a quarterback. Spurrier had this run of them, and it's just shocking that Florida, of all places, that's had three Heisman-winning quarterbacks, can't get a quarterback. Team two, kind of talking about quarterbacks that are underachieving. You go to South Carolina. Lenore Sellers obviously knocked out of that Vanderbilt game. I don't think it really changes anything. I don't. They got whipped, and they just are not very good. I mean, they have Nick Harbor. They got some guys that can catch the ball, but I mean, offensively, they are just really, really struggling. Really struggling. I don't really know much more to say on them. I guess the other team you could look for that you say kind of has worse than expected, although I think that's so hard to say, it's Texas. Like, I mean, they played a really good Ohio State defense week one. There's no way around that. They played a really good Ohio State defense. Arch has struggled, but I think he's going to come out of that. We talked about that last week. I don't know. I think a lot of theirs is going to be let's see what they do. Down this next stretch of games they play. I think they're off this week, and then they really ramp it up. I think have Florida in 2 weeks, and then. I'm not sure who they have that next week, but it's going to ramp up for them. Another team, or now onto the teams that I think, have looked better. I think you'd start with Missouri. I mean, Missouri looks legit right now. Bo Prabhula, say that one five times fast. Bo Prabhula has played way better than what the expectations were there with him. Ahmad Hardy has not missed a beat. He honestly looks better than he did at ULM, which I don't think anybody saw that one coming. They're getting great play out of their receivers. You know, Drink's always going to have a pretty decent defense, but this offense, I don't think anybody saw this one coming. You know, that's what you kind of can always have always been able to say. Missouri's kind of, they're either going to run it well and not be able to throw it, or throw it well and not be able to run it. And most people thought, okay, they're going to run it well but not be able to throw it this year. And it's really been the op. I mean, I would say the opposite. They've ran the ball really well. They're playing very, very complimentary football and offense. Been very, very impressed with them. Another team, Tennessee. I mean, talk about how the opinions have changed in, the last 10 months on that situation. I mean, they think Nico's the quarterback of the future. He leaves. They're all just, crestfallen that they've lost Nico. They've lost their future. He goes to UCLA. They get the UCLA quarterback, and everybody's like, okay, well, Heupel can make this kid serviceable. I don't think there's any Tennessee fan that would take Nico back right now. I'm being serious. If I was a Tennessee fan, I wouldn't. I mean, Aguilar has been absolutely incredible. Now, obviously, he has not played on the road. Comes to Starkville this weekend, or goes to Starkville. I'm not in Starkville, but goes to Starkville this weekend. That's going to be a test. He was not very good on the road last year. He was good on the road in 2023. Not good on the road last year, though. So it's going to be a test with the Cowbells. It's his first road start. I think we're going to learn a lot about Joey Aguilar this coming weekend. Tennessee's just one of those teams, though, that they're always going to be good. They're always going to have athletes. But what they're doing right now, very, very impressive. They look a lot more explosive offensively this year than they did last year. You could kind of go with the other teams. Obviously, Alabama hasn't looked great. Georgia, I think Georgia's probably been a little bit better than expected, if we're just being honest. I think Gunnar Stockton grew up a lot in Knoxville. I think they're probably a lot more bullish on what they have there than they thought they would be. But at the same time, look, Alabama's going to be ready to play. They got caught flat-footed against Florida State. I think Cain Womack would tell you that. I think their defense would tell you that. I think Kalen DeBoer would tell you that. They got caught flat-footed in that ball game. They did not expect Florida State to be, 2023 Florida State. They thought they were going to be 2024 Florida State. So, I think Alabama's going to be ready tomorrow night. I will give my pick for that one later. I just say I don't think being ready is going to ne necessarily be enough. Then, LSU, obviously, right now, they have issues offensively, but they are better than expected or as advertised defensively. I mean, what Blake Baker has done with that crew in 2 years to take them from, I mean, just really bad defensively. There's no other way to say it. Really bad defensively in Brian Kelly's first 2 years to, I mean, one of the best defenses in the country. And I'm going to tell you, I mean, tomorrow at 2:50, if we're being honest, that game's not starting at 2:30. 2:50 is going to be a very big test for LSU offensively, and to see if they can, how much they've grown up defensively. Because, if you look at Ole Miss right now, I'm not saying in a year, I'm not saying in 2 years, I'm saying at this moment, right now, Trinidad Chambliss is the best quarterback for Ole Miss, because Austin Simmons has looked awful. He's looked like a young quarterback. I'm not saying he's going to be awful. I'm saying he's looked awful because he's looked like a young quarterback. That's what you expected out of that. I don't read too much into it, but right now, if you're Ole Miss, you want to focus on Trinidad Chambliss and that run game. And I'm going to be very interested to see how LSU plays that. We'll get into that game a little bit deeper as we go to our games of the week. We do want to get on to some more of my thoughts. Dabo, Dabo, what's up, man? Need to go back to like making TikToks or something. Dude, your team is terrible. Terrible. And I don't see it getting better. Clemson just looks awful right now. There's no other way around it. You could excuse the LSU loss because, okay, LSU's great defensively. They are. They Blake Baker threw a lot at Cade Klubnik that, hey, okay, we'll let that one go. I even would have let the Georgia Tech game go because it's on the road. Georgia Tech's a good team. I think they can make some noise in the ACC this year. Dude, you got beat by Syracuse at home, and you didn't just get beat, you got punked. You got punked by Fran Brown at home. And by the way, that's a good Syracuse team. I don't want to take anything away from Syracuse, but this is Clemson. This is, this is where, they win national championships. They make the playoffs. This was a team that a lot of people thought were going to run away with the ACC. Cade Klubnik, a lot of people talking was going to be the Heisman Trophy winner. He's going to be the number one pick. I mean, Clemson may not win eight games. I don't know what their schedule looks like coming up. Let me look at it real quick of what they have coming up here. They're off this week. Then they're basically off next week. They play North Carolina. Then they're basically off the next week. They play Boston College. And then they get SMU at home. I don't know. Can Clemson stop SMU? I know SMU can't really stop anybody, but can Clemson stop them enough times? Then you get Duke at home, Florida State at home, Louisville on the road at Louisville, Furman at home, and then go to South Carolina. So Clemson's got a chance to save the season because, I mean, even looking at their schedule right now, I don't see but one game I would say they are not winning that one, and that's Florida State. But 8-4 is not good at Clemson. So I think it leads you to, is the dynasty dead? Did it leave with Brett Venables? I tend to say yeah. I mean, look, Dabo got lucky for a long time. He rolled from Deshaun. He rolled, really, if you look at it, from Taj Boyd to Deshaun Watson to they had the year with Kelly Bryant, and they still had all the five stars around him, and then Trevor Lawrence. You didn't have to worry about a. You had NFL quarterbacks for eight of your or seven of your, 12 years. And you had a really good guy in Taj Boyd. Cade Klubnik's not Deshaun Watson. He's not Trevor Lawrence. I'm not even sure he's Taj Boyd. At least not right now. He's not looking like that. I don't know what to make of that. But if I'm Clemson, yeah, I'm worried. Because the dynasty really looks like it's dying. And if Dabo doesn't embrace this new era of college athletics, it's going to completely die forever. They'll be back to where they were under Terry Bowden, which is an okay program, but they're not in the national spotlight. I mean, that's got to be worrisome if you're a Clemson fan. And if you're a Clemson booster, I think you have to start sitting there thinking, okay, this is, this may be the end for Dabo. We got to look at somebody else. But hopefully that conversation's for another time if you're a Clemson fan. Move on here. My last kind of take of the first 4 weeks here is who's the best team in the Big 12? I think you look at it three ways. First off, I think tonight's going to tell you a lot. If TCU rolls into Tempe and beats Arizona State, I have a hard time saying they're not the best team in the Big 12. Even what I've seen from Iowa State, what I've seen from Texas Tech, because Texas Tech without Barron Morton is not Texas Tech with Barron Morton. They're not in the conversation if Barron Morton can't or gets injured or can't play or whatever. I haven't looked at his injury status, so I have no clue what it is right now. But I'm very impressed by what I've seen from TCU. Offensively looks really good. They finally got Eric McAllister involved last week. Josh Hoover continues to be one of the most underappreciated quarterbacks in college football. I'm really shocked he's not getting at least a little bit of Heisman love. I haven't seen it yet. I think he will as he continues more and more to put his name in the national spotlight. But then there's Iowa State. And Matt Campbell just wins, man. He just wins. And that's all he's done this year. Huge game against Arizona State or Arizona tomorrow, but they get him at home. And Jack Trice is a tough place to win. And they go to Cincinnati, to Colorado. I don't think they're going to struggle at either of those places. And they get BYU at home again. At Jack Trice. They get Arizona State at home. Jack Trice. I think the Big 12 game of the year could be Iowa State TCU in Fort Worth. That could be for a spot in the Big 12 title game. Because if you ask me right now who are the best two teams in the Big 12, I tell you it's TCU and Iowa State. Do I think Texas Tech is very, very good? Yes, I do. I don't know that they're as good as those two teams. I haven't seen them against a high-powered offense. I haven't seen them against a TCU. I haven't seen them be able to take what Iowa State may be able to give them. Now, they don't, that's the thing about Iowa State. They don't have to play Texas Tech. You know, TCU has to get through a far, far tougher schedule than Iowa State does. I mean, really, Iowa State gets by TCU. I mean, really and truly, they got by Kansas State, and that they were kind of smooth sailing. We said that, you know, all the way back before the season started. But you look at TCU's schedule, they go to Tempe, they get Colorado at home, go to Kansas State, get Baylor at home, go to Morgantown, then they get TCU at home, or Iowa State at home, then they go to Provo. That could be iffy. That place is a weird place to play. Then get Houston. Go to Houston and get Cincinnati at home. So, okay, so Texas or TCU also doesn't play Texas Tech. So, very interesting dynamic going on right now in the Big 12 because if all three of those teams end up undefeated, I don't know who goes. I haven't looked at the Big 12 tiebreaker. Tech coming home, they get Houston. Ooh. That could get dicey next Saturday in Houston. Houston, by the way, sneaky undefeated right now. Go to Oregon State tonight, which I don't know who scheduled that one at 9 p.m. on a Friday, but hey, yeah. Can't help who's on your schedule. But Texas Tech goes to Houston, then gets Kansas at home, goes to Tempe. Oklahoma State at home, goes to Kansas State. BYU at home, UCF at home, and then finishes at West Virginia. I think it, like I said, I think it's a three-horse race, but I think your two best teams right now, TCU, Iowa State, and hey, we get to see that one on the field. I'll have my pick for TCU, Arizona State a little bit later. Very, very, very interesting game. Now we move on. Games of the week this week. We are just going to do four of them. Yes, they have an SEC flair. No, I don't care. Yes, I included Mississippi State, and guess what? I also don't care because we're 4-0 for the first time in 11 years. So I'm including it because it's my podcast. First game, though, Penn State, Oregon. Is anybody talking about Penn State? I've literally heard nobody talk about Penn State, and we're almost in October. Like, anybody bothering to talk about them? I mean, you look at their schedule so far, you understand why nobody's talking about them. I mean, 46 to 11 over Nevada, 34 nothing over FIU, 52 to 6 over Villanova, and they were off last week. But very, very quietly, number three team in the country. Big step up Saturday night. It is the whiteout. It is going to be loud in that place. It's going to be absolutely electric. How does Dante Moore handle that on the road for Oregon? I don't know the answer to that. I do know this. Oregon is very, very good. They are very, very explosive offensively. If you have to ask me who I predict right now wins that, I mean, I think the line's Penn State minus 3.5. I'd take Oregon. I really would. I like Oregon a lot in this game. I think right now what they're doing offensively is going to be very, very tough for Penn State to keep up with. And I think the X factor is this: James Franklin doesn't win big games. He doesn't. He's won like what, one? The whiteout game against Ohio State. And look, everybody's going to point at that. Well, this is the whiteout again. Okay, you're right. It is. Could he win Saturday night? Yeah, absolutely. He could. Don't think he will, but I think he could. I think Drew Aller could play over his head and they win. But I mean, Penn State's played nobody. They've played less than nobody. Oregon's at least played a little bit of somebody. I mean, you look at their, I mean, they have played Oregon State. They've played Northwestern. They've played Oklahoma State, who's terrible, but at least they've played Power Five teams. Now, you can make an argument that Oklahoma State and Northwestern shouldn't be Power Five teams this year. That's another story, but they're playing Power Five teams, whereas Penn State's not. I think it's going to be very, very interesting to see how Dan Lanning and Will Stein choose to attack Penn State. Penn State brings over the old Ohio State defense coordinator who, I mean, shut Lanning down and Stein down in the nationals, not national semifinal, I'm sorry, then the Rose Bowl that was the quarterfinal. Can't even have bowl games anymore with these playoffs. It's just quarterfinals. But I don't know that the athletes are there for Penn State the way they were for Ohio State. With the whiteout, obviously you give Penn State any type of chance, but I got Oregon. I do. Next game on the list, LSU Ole Miss. My pick for this will be in our picks, but just kind of go over the keys. I think the key is this. It's very simple. Whose defense can stop the other's offense? Or it might be better yet, whose offense can score on the other defense? Because LSU has not really done that through, 4 weeks. Garrett Nussmeier has all these athletes at his disposal, whether it be a Caden Durham, whether it be an Anthony Anderson, whether it be a Zadeon Thomas. You have all these, I mean, speed demons at your disposal, and you're not really using them. Your defense is winning you a lot of games. And on the other end, you got Ole Miss. We talked about it earlier. Right now, Trinidad Chambliss is the best quarterback for that team. But make no mistake, he's not faced a defense like this LSU defense. Blake Baker is going to throw a lot at him tomorrow afternoon that he's not seen. And there's no way that Lane Kiffin can prepare him for that. I mean, if you ask me, is this game going to be like more like 2024, which was a shoot, or 2023, which was a shootout, or 2024, which was a defensive slugfest? I lean that it's more last year. The problem with that is, I don't know that that benefits Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss needs this to be high scoring. I think they need Chambliss to be able to have success because I don't know what LSU's going to take away. Are they going to take away the run and make him throw? Or are they going to take away the pass and just try to sell out to, they're going to play a bunch of cloud coverage and try to say, hey, you can't get by our D line and linebackers? I tend to think they're going to sell out to stop the run and make Chambliss beat them through the air. I don't know why you wouldn't do that. Because I've heard Ole Miss fans, oh, he throws a great deep ball. He really doesn't. I mean, it's serviceable. It's good enough when you're playing awful defenses like Arkansas or Tulane. It's not going to be good enough against LSU. So ball placement will be at a very, very big premium. Ole Miss getting back Treylon Ray. He'll make his Ole Miss debut. I don't know what to expect there. You add him to a room right now. Ole Miss looks really good in the receiver room. Last year it was kind of Trey Harris, and you just kind of had to figure it out after that. This year it's Alexander, it's Wallace, it's Lee. Daquan Wright has been a, revelation in the passing game, where they, really didn't know what they were going to do at tight end after Luke Hayes got in, or Haas got injured. I'll make my pick later. I think it's going to be a close game. I really do. Third game. Oh, buddy. It's going to be very tense for me at about 3:15 tomorrow. Mississippi State, like I said, for the first time in 11 years, undefeated. Tennessee comes in with the one loss. Had a kick to win it at the buzzer against Georgia, lose in overtime. Look, this is a good Tennessee team. I'm not going to sit here and say it's not. It's a good Tennessee team. I've said all week, I think the keys to the game for Mississippi State are very simple. You have to figure out a way to expose Tennessee's lack of depth in the secondary. Right now, they don't have a lot of depth and they don't have a lot of talent. You've got to hit your explosives. And to do that, you have to give your quarterback time, because Tennessee's defensive line's very good. Mississippi State's offensive line has been a question mark. And I think if you flip it around, Tennessee, it's the same thing. You got to give Joey Aguilar time to hit the explosives. You got to test this Mississippi State secondary that, outside of Kelly Jones, has not really been tested. I think both teams are going to try to establish a run game, because it does set up those explosives. But I don't know. I picked Mississippi State earlier in the week because I'm a Mississippi State fan. But if you told me Tennessee won this by 20, I would not be shocked. Tennessee's a good team. Joey Aguilar is a good quarterback. But Blake Shapen's a good quarterback too. And Mississippi State has a lot of speed. Brennan Thompson, Anthony Evans, a lot of speed. I think the X factor for Mississippi State is, can they get a third receiver involved? Can a guy like Aiden Williams, the transfer from Ole Miss, can he get involved? Can Jordan Mosley get involved? Can Ricky Johnson get involved? Can they get Sadu Traore back involved in the pass game? Mississippi State's going to have to have somebody other than Thompson or Evans to step up. If you're Mississippi State, you want that to be Devon Booth or Fluff Bothwell. You want to be able to run the ball. But being realistic and watching this team through 4 weeks, I don't know that that's a possibility. I think Shapen's going to have to carry a large load for this game. I think he's going to have to carry a large load for the offense. I think he's going to have to throw for 300 yards to win this game. And that hadn't happened a lot. I'm probably sitting here talking myself out of picking Mississippi State, but like I said, I'm still picking them. That is not in the picks, it's something else. But get to the last game now. Bama UGA. I don't think it matters. Kalen DeBoer can wear his black hoodie. I don't think it matters. I think Georgia is just the better team. I think they're the better program. I think they have the better players. Is there a way for Bama to win this? Yes, there is. Ty Simpson has to play really, really well. Ryan Williams has to show up. Jeremy Bernard has to show up. And most importantly for Alabama, their defense has to show up. You have to figure out somebody that can guard the tight ends, that can guard Dylan Bell, that can guard the Branch kid from the transfer from USC. I don't know that Alabama has that. I really don't. I think you can kind of guess the tone of that of my pick from that. But if you told me Alabama won this game 31-24, I wouldn't be shocked. No. Alabama's got good athletes too. I don't know that they have the athletes that Georgia has or the talent that Georgia has, and I damn sure know they don't have the coaching that Georgia has. Kirby has the coaching advantage in this game. He does. I think Alabama may have the play calling advantage with Grubb and DeBoer, but Kirby has the coaching advantage. I'll be honest. I'll go ahead. We'll get to picks of the week, but I'll go ahead and get that one out of the way. I'm taking Georgia minus 2.5. I mean, that's, yeah, taking Georgia minus 2.5. Just, it's too easy. We're also TCU plus 3.5 tonight against Arizona State. I actually like TCU money line as well at plus 135. I really like TCU. They're one of my favorite teams this year. I really am really high on them. Next game, this is going to shock some folks. Indiana travels to Iowa. They just come off a 63-10 shellacking of Illinois at home. I got Iowa plus 8.5. I think Iowa can muddy this game up like they did against Iowa State, keep this close. I'm not predicting them to win, but I think they can keep it within 8.5. Next game, I said I was not picking Tennessee, Mississippi State. I'm not. I'm taking the over 62.5. I think there's going to be a bunch of points scored in this game. Next game, Arkansas, Notre Dame. Guess what? Over. Neither team has a defense. Arkansas will inevitably do something stupid to lose it at the end, but they're going to score a ton of points. Next game on the list, I talked about it earlier. LSU Ole Miss. I think it's going to be a tight game. Give me LSU plus 1.5. I think LSU at the end of the day finds a way to win it. I think they make enough stops. I don't think it takes away that Ole Miss isn't a great team because I think Ole Miss is a really, really good to great team right now. And I think playing Chambliss has made them that team. I think if Simmons was playing in this game, I'd say the line's LSU minus 5.5. I think the way Chambliss has played has made this a closer game and will make it a closer game. Next game on the list, we talked about it, Georgia minus 2.5. Then we're going to get to this is the most confusing line of the week. Syracuse at home versus Duke, 2-2 Duke, a 4.5 point underdog. Yeah, we're gonna take Syracuse. And we're taking money line plus 170. Absolutely. Take Syracuse. They win this outright. The next game, Kentucky, South Carolina. Boy, oh boy, this is going to be really ugly. Really, really ugly. Like, it's just, this game's going to be gross on just so many different levels. Take the under. You could tell me the under was at 10, and I'd have to seriously consider if I wasn't just going to take it because. I think points will be at a premium. If you told me this game was like 13-3, I'd believe you. And it's not because I think South Carolina's defense is all that good. It's because I think Kentucky is so incredibly bad offensively. And South Carolina's not exactly great. The over-under is 47.5, if you wanted to know. So plenty of it. Give me the under. Give me the under in that one. It's going to be ugly. Last of the night and the upset pick of the week. This team has heard the talk for a week. They got screwed, and they did, by the way. They did. They've heard it all week. They got to go to College Station. They got to beat this high-powered offense led by Marcel Reed, Mario Craver, Casey Concepcion. Give me the Auburn Tigers. Give me Jackson Arnold on the road. Texas A&M cannot stop anything defensively. Give me Jackson Arnold. Give me Cam Coleman. They make one play to win this ball game. Auburn outright plus 6.5. The parlay for the night for the day plus 1772. We got TCU plus 135, Syracuse plus 170, Auburn plus 195. Yes, that's not for the day. It's for the weekend. But that's our parlay for the weekend. Been a great show. Can't wait for next week. Let's see who gets fired. We're averaging one a week. And I'll be honest, if Arkansas loses Saturday, I can see Sam Pittman getting fired. Everybody have a great week. We will be back with you next week. Hope to get two podcasts done. Not promising anything, but we do hope to get that done. And everybody, enjoy college football. We're in week five already. Smile, have a drink, have a laugh, yell at the TV and throw your hat. Just do whatever you want. We only get a finite amount of time every year for this, so enjoy it.